Thank you. We have no interest to disclose. So I'm going to start by describing the barriers to abortion training and service that MAP works to overcome and share a bit about the organization's history. And Christy will describe our strategies for addressing these barriers to improve abortion access. I grew up in Chicago, and when I decided to return home for residency, I knew I wanted to incorporate abortion care in my practice because I had seen it was a service my patients would need. But at the time, there was no family medicine residency here that offered abortion training as a routine part of the curriculum. So I chose a residency that was strong in women's health, even though abortion was not provided, and that had expressed support for me in seeking abortion training. Residencies that incorporate abortion into their curriculum are described as training in the opt-out model, meaning all residents receive abortion training unless they opt out. Programs that want to offer this can get a grant from the READY program for family medicine or the RYAN program for OBGYN. This is a wonderful model for training, but many programs do not want or would not qualify for these grants, either because the hospital itself isn't supportive of abortion, or they don't have providers available or willing to train their residents. Residents who want training but don't attend an opt-out program can seek abortion training through an opt-in program. This is where abortion training is available if the resident wants it, but is not integrated into the curriculum. When I arrived at residency, I expected this meant that the hospital had a dedicated rotation, that is, an existing relationship with an abortion provider that would allow me to train there. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case, and for most residencies that do not have a RYAN or READY-style opt-out training, the truth is that opt-in means the program allows residents to receive this training, but residents are on their own to find providers who will train them. One important resource for me as a resident was the reproductive health program at the University of Rochester. Between 1999 and 2005, this program offered training to medical students, advanced practice clinicians, residents, and practicing physicians from a range of specialties. In 2011, a paper on this program reported on the outcomes of trainees between 2001 and 2005, and they found that of the alumni from this program who they were able to contact, 59% went on to become abortion providers. Barriers that kept others from providing it included lack of additional training, lack of malpractice coverage for abortion, difficulty obtaining supplies, and lack of support from their community or the hospital or practice where they worked. I personally feel very fortunate that I was able to train at Rochester. It was a real loss when that program closed. I was also able to spend additional months getting opt-in training through rotations I arranged on my own, one in New York City, one at Planned Parenthood of Chicago, and later at the University of Chicago. When looking for training, I asked around a lot. I tapped every connection I could think of, from mentors I had met through Medical Students for Choice to contacts I knew from being politically active in reproductive rights. I got many no's from local clinics that simply were not equipped to take on an outside resident. I don't blame these providers. Many, especially here in the Midwest, are under immense financial and political pressure. And when you bring people into your clinic, it's important to know who they are, screen and orient them properly, and dedicate the time and resources it takes to provide a good learning experience for them. I was fortunate to find providers willing to take me on, but many of my co-residents either couldn't leave Chicago for their training or didn't have the existing network of mentors to make this possible. I also slipped in under the wire with my residency hospital. In 2004, the hospital got acquired by a Catholic system, and residents who went through after me were no longer allowed to rotate at places like Planned Parenthood. After I finished residency and moved into practice in a federally qualified health center on Chicago's South Side, it was clear that my patients' needs for abortion care were not decreasing, and that barriers to accessing this care for patients remained. Yet many of my co-residents who wanted to provide this service could not get the training they needed, and those few of us who were able to get the training could not find jobs where we could incorporate abortion services into our practice. We started looking around at these barriers in our region, the predominance of Catholic and other religious hospitals, the pressures on abortion providers that made it hard for them to offer training, and the disconnect between where frontline primary care was taking place and where abortion was provided. And in 2006, we founded the Midwest Access Project to try to bridge these gaps. If I were applying to residency today, I would face a Chicago and Midwestern scene that is, in some ways, a little better than during my time, but remains in many ways an abortion training desert. Looking at the opt-out programs, In family medicine, there are 28 ready residency sites nationwide, just two of which are in the Midwest. In OBGYN, just 14 of the 78 Ryan programs nationally are located in our region. The most highly specialized training for physicians who have finished residency and want to learn to provide later term abortions or do abortion research is available through the Fellowship in Family Planning. This program offers just 5 Midwestern sites of total of 30 in the country. When we started MAP, one of our first projects was a needs assessment of family medicine residents in Illinois. We worked with the Abortion Access Project, now called PROVIDE, to survey residents on their interests and opportunities for reproductive health training. We asked about their interest in learning pregnancy options counseling, miscarriage management, early abortion, and comprehensive contraception. For this, I'd like to focus on abortion training, where we found that 35% of residents who responded to our survey said that they agree or strongly disagree that they would like to receive this training. Unfortunately, only 15% said this training is currently available, and for all other reproductive health topics, training availability was also lower than resident interest. Shortly after our survey, a colleague surveyed OBGYN residents from Illinois and the surrounding states and found that religious hospitals were a significant barrier to training. When residents were asked if they intend to provide family planning services such as IUDs, contraceptive implants, and manual vacuum aspiration, a common abortion technique, there was a high rate of intending to provide these, and these rates did not differ between residents at religious versus secular residencies. However, when asked if they understood and could provide these services, there were significant differences, and here you see the difference in their sense of their own competence around MVA. The issue of religious residencies, such as those at Catholic hospitals, is especially predominant in the Midwest compared to other parts of the country. For example, in Illinois, 40% of family medicine residencies are at Catholic or other religious hospitals that restrict abortion, as are 44% of OBGYN residencies. What we've seen consistently is that residents and practicing clinicians want to be trained to provide abortion for their patients, and that opportunities to receive this training and incorporate services into their practice are very limited in the Midwest.
Thanks, Debbie. So with what Debbie has described as the need for and the impetus to begin the Midwest Access Project, our organization was started in 2006 and began programming in 2007 with 3 synergistic strategies in mind. Our individual clinical training program provides in-depth practical training to physicians, advanced practice clinicians, residents, and students. Our objective with this program is to improve competency of clinicians to provide comprehensive reproductive health care services through individually tailored training rotations. We do not have a formal training curriculum, but rather create an individual learning experience based on the trainee's goals, educational level, and experience. We have formed relationships with both academic institutions and independent practices, for example, Planned Parenthood of Illinois and the Whole Women's Health, allowing us to create diverse schedules and experiences. A benefit for our training partners is that MAP does all of the training screening, or trainee screening, orientation, and schedule coordination, saving them time and resources to sort of try to overcome that barrier that Debbie found when people were just saying no to her. Until 2015, training with MAP was only available in Chicago, and this year we have branched out to Minneapolis and Peoria, Illinois. I'm struck by Rachel's slide about how few providers there are just in general in the Midwest comparatively throughout the country, and I'm realizing that's going to be another barrier for us. There's just not that many providers to tap to be trainers. With our provider and community education program, we aim to increase knowledge of comprehensive reproductive health care through lectures and workshops. We have done workshops and seminars on office-based use of the manual vacuum aspirator in abortion care and miscarriage management, medication abortion, introduction to abortion care and services, and values clarification for abortion care. We've presented at conferences, educational institutions, and hosted our own CME events. We're also trying to use that strategy of miscarriage management as an entry point for teaching the same skill set that you need for abortion care. With our regional collaboration program, we aim to build relationships with organizations and allies in the field to grow opportunities for training in the Midwest, and to build supportive community networks for providers. We mentor our alumni to build relationships and share information. We've built networks and collaborative partnerships to support providers currently working in the field, especially those that are new to this work. And we network within our community to identify potential new training sites in order to expand and enhance our training program experiences. I just want to point out that one of the findings in the Rochester study was that people often felt isolated when they were new to the work. So we feel that having a network built in to help support those providers is important. We're working to develop a scalable and sustainable regional training network that will expand our programs and build a supportive reproductive health and justice community across the Midwest. So, since opening our doors in 2007, MAP has provided clinical training to 150 individual clinical trainees from 45 educational programs and an additional 4 organizations where those people were staff, they were no longer in an educational program. 30 programs were represented by Midwest-based programs, and 15 were outside of the Midwest, and 4 were international programs. With the exception of 10 trainees, all of MAP individual clinical trainees have self-selected to participate in our program. As Debbie had mentioned, they are opt-in learners. They have sought out reproductive health care training, they've found MAP through word of mouth or referral, and actively requested elective training. The other 10 are residents whose programs have contracted with MAP to provide an opt-out rotation. So they don't provide abortion services, but they need their residents to get the training, basically. Our trainees are primarily residents and fourth-year medical students, as shown from this pie chart. Most are going into family medicine or OB-GYN, and there are some that have entered different specialties. Pediatrics, psychiatry, and emergency medicine are examples. We have found that working with students earlier in their education, especially the first and second year medical students, piques their interest early, gets them introduced to a community that they want to be a part of, and quite a few trainees have actually returned to us for training, so they've come back in their fourth year of medical student and then again possibly as a resident for training. So, looking at this map, you can see the locations from which where our trainees have come. Our Midwestern trainees have come from Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan, and Ohio. And though our name is the Midwest Access Project, and we've clearly demonstrated the need for training in the Midwest, not all of our trainees have come from the Midwest. We've also had trainees come from California, Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Hawaii, Pennsylvania, New York, and Rhode Island. And the map is very large because I wanted to include the international programs. We've had somebody come from Negev, Israel, Montreal, Canada, Nevis in the West Indies, and a surgeon came from Tanzania, Africa. So, what happens at our training? A training experience could be as simple as a shadow day in an abortion clinic, just one time shot, that's it. Or it could be a preclinical student who shadows various providers for 1 to 2 weeks, gaining exposure to both abortion care and family planning services. Most often, it is a clinical experience that ranges from 2 to 4 weeks and involves training at multiple sites with multiple abortion providers. There's both observation and hands-on training, which varies dependent on the person's skill set, what their experience level is, what their educational level is, what their goals are, and also the comfort level of the preceptor and the patient volume at that site. We've also been fortunate to have a longitudinal training opportunity and host a fellow in the 2013-2014 academic year. That fellow worked at the same clinic for 2 days per week for a full year, and at the end of her fellowship was competent to provide abortions up to 12 weeks. We're actively seeking a training location that would afford us the opportunity to do that again next year. To evaluate our program, MAP has trainees complete intake and exit questionnaires, and staff conduct exit interviews with each trainee. Intake questionnaires allow us to assess what their goals are and develop that individual tailored training rotation. And then the exit questionnaire and the interview assess how successful we were to see if the training experiences were meeting their needs and have helped us to improve both programming and resources. We are in the process of developing our first comprehensive alumni survey to be disseminated later this year and analyzed in early 2016. We are looking to learn what reproductive health services our alumni are currently providing, the impact that MEP had on preparing them for this work. We are also looking to learn what barriers have persisted to prevent any of our alumni from providing comprehensive reproductive health services, and we actually anticipate that working at a religious institution will be a high barrier to that. So examples of the feedback we have received from our alumni this year are the first quote from a family medicine resident: participating in the counseling of patients really opened my eyes to the decisions that were being made and why they are being made. I don't think that the decision to have an abortion comes easily to most women, and as a medical provider, it is important for me to understand the choices my patients are making. After participating in MAP, I do anticipate that I will likely provide abortion services in the future, though I don't know in what capacity. And from an attending primary care physician, MAP was essential to me in med school and residency. I couldn't have the job I have today without you guys. And we do keep relationships with a lot of our alumni, and we've learned that in just this year, in just 2015, one of our alum was hired to replace a retiring physician to provide abortions at a health center in Milwaukee. We have one that became a medical director at a Planned Parenthood in Washington State. We have many that are providing family planning services at community health centers in Chicago, in which they include pregnancy options counseling and referrals as part of their practice. We've had two family medicine physicians bring outpatient miscarriage services, including MVAs, to their primary care health centers in Wisconsin, where they're also trying to teach that skill set where they can't teach abortion in their family medicine residency program. We had a medical student alum connect a Western Illinois community-based organization working to financially assist patients seeking abortion care to a local abortion provider through her connection in the MAP regional network, helping them to match the resources with the need. And we've had an alum become a fly-in provider, abortion provider for a clinic in New Mexico. These are just a few examples that illustrate ways in which trainees are expanding access in places where access would otherwise be limited. As we continue to collect data, especially with our formal alumni survey next year, we look forward to seeing the impact of our programming and how it is impacting the communities that we are serving here in the Midwest. And we look forward to reporting on those results at future meetings. So until then, if you or someone you know would like to participate in our training program or would like to invite us to your institution to do a lecture or workshop, please contact us. Or if you or someone you know would be interested in training the next generation providers, we really would love to hear from you. Thank you.
We have time for one question now, but there will be time at the end for questions for all of our panelists.
I apologize if you said this, but I missed it. Are you training for MVA only, or are you doing
DME? I did not say that. Great question. We do not have a week limit. We do work with clinics that go up to 23 weeks. So people are getting, dependent on their experience and what the preceptor's comfort level is, they could get training up until that point.
Thank you.